Reading this morning is from Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, a call to build the house of the Lord. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses, while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, the olive oil and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labour of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord.
Prophet Haggai. I'm looking forward to seeing what that's all about. And I'm guessing you're, after that reading, going, how on earth, why are we doing this? Well, build back better. These 18 to 20 months of the pandemic, of lockdown, the government wanted to build back better. So we're rebuilding. There you go. We're hoping to build back better. Not so much really building back. I want us to move forward. So when we were talking about this, I thought, well, we should use a book from after the exile of Judah in Babylon. Now, 587, they were taken to Babylon because of their sin into exile. And they were told 70 years you'd be there. And then they would return. And in 538 BC, Darius decided to actually allow exiled people to go back home. Completely different policy to Nebuchadnezzar. And he sent them back home. And this is why we're using this book. We could have used Zechariah, Ezra, or Nehemiah, but they're all long. And Haggai is 38 verses long. That's all it is, 38 verses. But boy, is it an important book. And I thought I had a commentary, you know, Bible commentary on Haggai. And I go to my bookshelves and I haven't got one. Not one single. I had to confess this to a colleague of mine who teaches Old Testament to all nations. And he was disgusted with me. So I bought a couple. And one of them has a subtitle, Rebuilding with Hope. Rebuilding with Hope. And I thought, well, that's a really good message for us as we rebuild the church back after COVID-19. We want to build better for the future. Rebuilding and hope, and it perfectly expresses this is our thinking here. We want to build better and with hope. So there are five main emphases, really, of the whole of Haggai. So I'm introducing the book of Haggai. The importance of God's word, the Lord Almighty says. You heard it three times in that passage. The Lord Almighty says, the word of God. And the word of God is rebuild the temple. So the temple. And the temple, for the Hebrews, was the presence of God in their midst. Okay, so rebuilding the temple was a symbol of the fact that God was with them. It's an important concept to get across. The temple was not just a building. It was a symbol of God's presence among Israel. And we call ourselves sometimes, the church is sometimes called in the New Testament, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's, we are rebuilding back the temple of the Holy Spirit. The projection of the hope of the Messiah. The Israelites were promised that there would be a great leader to come who would lead them into the future. And he was called the Messiah. Messiah in Hebrew is the one who is anointed, who is appointed to do a job. The importance of God's agreement with Israel. That is the covenant. And also the importance that God is going to lead them into the future. And that's right at the end of Haggai, which we'll look at in a few weeks' time. It is, when I first read it, you know, I just thought, yeah, we'll use Haggai. And then I actually read it and I thought, this is dynamite. It's one of those things you kind of think that the Holy Spirit truly has inspired you. Because you sort of blindly choose a book to have, and then you read it and think, yeah, this is really appropriate for us. It's absolutely brilliant. So we want to get back, but we want to move forward. So it's a time that we are moving forward. What do we want to retain from the past? What do we want to do something different for the future? So that's why I don't like the idea of building back, going back to what we've decide what we did beforehand. And it's, by the way, when I saw everybody coming into the church, I got so emotional. It's so wonderful to have people actually here. It's great to see you all. I really love you, really do. what was I saying? Oh, yes. So we want to retain some things, but we also want to move forward and do some things different. So it's a time of both retention and moving to the future as well. So the prophecy of Haggai, it's a really interesting book. So short, but so exciting. Its language is really rich with meaning. It draws upon the whole of the Old Testament with its wording and the way it's phrased, the way it's structured. Rich and resonant language. It might be short, but it's really, it's like a haiku. A really good, you know what a haiku is, don't you? I wrote a haiku one time. I did, on the Trinity. I lost it, I can't find it anymore, so that's a bit of a shame. But it's like that, it's so rich in its language. It blends rebuke with encouragement. It says, you're not doing this, you should be doing it. But I'm going to be with you to do this. So don't worry. So it's encouragement. And it is a timely message for Israel, but a timeless message for us. It's a timely message for Israel, but a timeless message for us to rebuild God's temple here in Bourne Baptist Church, knowing that we're being drawn into the future by God. So the book of Haggai, we're actually given the actual dates. It's really bizarre. So what is it? I can't actually see that. 29th of August, 520 BC up to the 18th of December, 520. It's like, this is crazy. People didn't know when Darius started being king, but now we're pretty sure from archaeological records when he became king, so we can date Haggai's prophecy. Not quite sure what time it was, but we do have the date at least. Within 24 hours, we know when Haggai got these prophecies. So we've dated it to after the exile, when they're rebuilding the temple. And we know from Ezra 1 to 3 that they started rebuilding the temple. But because of internal insecurities and external threats, there was a guy called Sanballat. It's a great name, isn't it? Oh, by the way, Margaret, well done for negotiating those names. Sanballat. I called him Sand and Ballast. It's much... much easier to remember. Sanballat was the one who was opposing Israel in their rebuilding of the temple. We know they started, but they stopped. And this is where Haggai comes in and says, you need to build back better. So it's divided into three little passages. First of all, verses 1 and 2. Get going. When should you build? Well, the answer is now. Rebuild now. Now is the time to rebuild. You've started, you have the plans, but you stopped. And it's a building site. The temple of the Lord is a building site. Now, it was given in late August. And late August was the time of the first fruits, the fruit harvest. Very special offerings were given at this time. So it's pretty significant that the Lord decided to give the prophecy to Haggai and Haggai to Zerubbabel and Joshua. I'm not saying their dad's names because I can't say them like Margaret can. But it's given at that time when they were just about to be offering to God the first fruits. And we're going to, on Harvest Sunday, which is first in October, we're going to be looking at actually the first fruits in Deuteronomy 26. It's the time when they were giving. And God said, now is the time for you to give. And it's a wake-up call, verses 3 to 11. Look, you're working so hard on your field, but you're getting nothing. You eat and drink, and you're still thirsty and hungry. You put on warm clothes, and you're still cold. Why is that? And God's saying, because you got your priorities wrong. Wake up. Realize what's happening here. Be aware of what's happening here. Oops, sorry, gone too far. Oh, back a bit further. There you go. And verses 12 to 15 are basically who is at the center? Who is at the center of your life? So build now. Get going. Build. So as I said, it was a harvest time for offerings. They had started building. But get your priorities sorted. You think you should build your own house, and you notice in the chapter it says, "Is it time you're living in your panelled housing?" So it's actually making the point that said you've built your house, you've put the walls up, you've done all the plastering, you've put the wallpaper on, you've even put panels on the side of your house. And you're living in nice houses. Get your priorities right. Build the house of the Lord, because this is your future. This is the future. The Lord of the covenant is calling his people to build once again, to build the house of the Lord. The wake-up call. So like I said, it's about getting your priorities right. It's actual that the temple lying in ruins as a building site is visual evidence of the failure of the people to actually build the house of the Lord. A place where they can worship. And it's a place to which they would call the nations to worship as well. So it was an important building, a visible symbol of not only of their achievements and their obedience, but it was for the sake of the people. It appeals to the reality of the situation. Verses 5 and 6. They've got the basics of life, but they're not satisfied. Aren't we all like that? We have the basics of life. I have more than the basics of life, but sometimes are left unsatisfied. But this, the reason is that they hadn't listened to God. And it's an appeal to action. Sorry, I've gone too far again, haven't I? There you go. So it's appeal to thought and action, verses 7 and 8. They need to reflect upon God's word and take action as a result. In Nick's prayer, he talks about we can learn from learned people because we don't have any. I'm up here. But it's a time not only for thought, not only for reflection. And you know me. I love to chew the fat and talk theology. As Reese will well know, we spent hours on the phone talking theology. But theology must lead to action. Thought without action is no good at all to God. We need to get to action, and they needed to get their act right and appeal to the situation that lies behind their situation. They've ignored God, they've ignored the scriptures, and they've ignored their situation. They've ignored their own history. And that's what's behind their difficult situation they're in now. And they need to build. They need to get going. And how do they do that? Well, God appeals to recenter. You know, on the sat nav, you kind of go, so where's it leading me? Where's it leading? And you just press that little button that says restore the center. And that's what God's doing. He's saying, get me back to the center of your life. Not for my sake, but for yours. Because when you recenter your life will start moving in the right direction. So it's an appeal to obedience, for them to obey the Lord's command to rebuild. It's a reassurance of the divine presence. So verse 12, they started to listen to the voice of the Lord. And the Lord responds, I'm going to be with you in this. I'm not asking you to do it on your own. I'm going to be right there at the center of the rebuilding project. And when you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, you see how God is there constantly. And you see in verse 14 that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua, and the people acted. So it's an interaction between God's action and our action, or God's action and the Israelites' action. God's action and our action. When we center, or when we put God at the center, then we act. Because God is a God of action. A saying that reflection, words are mere words. You can say that you love somebody as much as you like, but if you don't work for the good of that person, then they're empty words. For God so loved the world that he gave. Most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. In this is love. Not that we love God, but he first loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loves, God acted. And God stirred up Zerubbabel and Joshua, and they acted. And once we act, God will honour our actions. So what? It's the task of the whole church to build forward better after COVID. We've moved slowly, but we've got to get those priorities right. How can we act? Are we willing to pay the cost to put God at the centre of the church's life, so that we will be able to rebuild with God's help, with God's accompaniment of us in this task of saying, Lord, okay, where now? Where are we going now? We talk about the end of the pandemic as though it was a date, like the 18th of August, 520 BC. It's not a date. We're in a process of building forward to what God wants us to do in the future. And I know we want to get back to what it was like beforehand, because that's what we want. But we need to know that God is not asking us to be comfortable. He's asking us to get out of that comfort zone and with him holding his hand, move forward to the future that he has got for us. Because he's there already, by the way. He is there in our future already. And we do not need to fear. We just need to respond and to show God that we're putting him at the center and we love him. And we will be building back or building forward better. Let's pray. Father God, we know that so many people have suffered terribly. Loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, loss of income, businesses. And it is, when we look at it, we are very sad. But we know that you are still the Lord of the universe. We by faith can say you are still on the throne. You still are the leader of this world and its history. Lord, we want to be involved in the building of your kingdom, whether it's simply coming to a coffee morning and buying cake or working for against injustice and working for peace, whether it's looking after the environment, whatever, Lord, we want to build forward better for Bourne Baptist Church. Guide us through these studies, we pray, as we look at Haggai and your word to Zerubbabel and Joshua through Haggai. And we pray that you will help us to see the way forward. In Jesus' name, amen.